are listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
Cut, cut, cut. God, I'm working with amateurs over here. Hey, that was fantastic. I just wonder, could you maybe say it again and maybe this time add some slang for the kids?
No.
Like, you know, like, I don't know, is for shizzle still popular?
Absolutely not.
I don't know. Anyway, just say something that has to do with Facebook and how uncool it is to be old.
What?
Just say something really real. Like, you know, it's lame to even try to be professional, but, you know, not too nonchalant. We don't want to insult our more mature demographic.
You know, Dave, remakes aren't always a good idea.
Huh?
Let me show you what I mean.
In a world full of old ideas, one town isn't afraid to stand up and remake all of them.
Hey, mister, why do you keep on calling me the Karate Kid when you're clearly teaching me wushu?
Hoya!
Ouch!
This summer, fall, winter, and spring, prepare to be
invaded by the Chinese and the Russians? That's ridiculous. Maybe Russia and, I don't know, Cuba in the 80s?
You will get
another Fantastic Four movie? Really?
Remade. Coming to every theater everywhere for the next 20 years or so.
Phew, we survived.
Yeah, good thing they weren't stupid enough to remake any Hitchcock movies.
Oh my god!
I get it. So what we're saying is that maybe remakes aren't always a good thing?
That's right.
Oh man. Well, good thing I have this list of all the upcoming remakes, huh?
Yeah, we should start going through that.
Yes, well, this is our very special remake show, and I think this show is so special that we should remake this show after we're done making it.
Now, have you learned nothing?
Oh, yeah, now I think about it. Good point. All right, let's start off with some of the remakes that are coming out. This will be in order of when they come out. And the first and foremost, it's already out. Clash of the Titans.
You know, I don't even know what to say about this. The biggest thing that I can say, though, is in relation to our 3D show from last week, all I keep hearing is that this is the first time anyone has ever said 3D seems to make it worse.
Yeah, it's really funny. I think that, you know, a lot of people were worried that maybe Sam Worthington wouldn't be a good Perseus or, you know, just kind of... The original movie, though, you know, kind of silly, also, you know, has a lot of good memories for people, especially people growing up in the 80s, you know, with the Harryhausen stop-motion animation. It was kind of like, you know, one of those great moments for a lot of kids. A lot of people were worried about the remake. And, you know, frankly, it's really funny that it might end up actually looking better because, like you said, so many people are upset about the 3D.
Yeah. But as for the movie itself, we haven't seen the movie. I'm only vaguely familiar with the original.
Yes.
So we can't actually give our own opinion on how the movie is, but I've been hearing a lot of people saying things about how they don't like how the Perseus character is portrayed now, and there are people that are upset that that there isn't more of the mechanical owl.
Yes.
And we learned from Entertainment Weekly that Sam Worthington hated the mechanical owl.
Yes, Entertainment Weekly did a great article on set, and Sam Worthington said, "I don't care what anyone says, I think this, you know, owl is stupid, and you know, it shouldn't be allowed in the movie." Luckily, they kept it in, and apparently it's a very small cameo. But yeah, it's one of those really interesting situations where it could end up being better, like I said, because of 3D, and I don't know. The original one, was it a great movie? No, but it was a lot of fun, and apparently this new one is kind of a little more, isn't it cool to be, like, killing gods, and we're all, like, buff, and we look like Russell Crowe?
Yeah. You know, one of the things is that... There are reasons to remake movies that we're going to go into later.
Yeah.
But And you know, things that use stop motion, well, CGI has the potential to make way more smoothly moving creatures.
Yes.
And potentially far scarier creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to have just as good of a story, or even better, a better story, to kind of compensate for the fact that you are remaking something.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people had was there wasn't as much of the stuff with the gods, you know, mm-hmm. from the original movie. They, of course, had, like, Laurence Olivier, and a lot of it was sort of what the gods were doing along with Perseus, and this
right.
was pretty much all Perseus, and I hear it gets a little boring at times, but the special effects are supposed to be fantastic
right.
if you don't see the 3D version
yeah.
where, you know, you can't really see the effects. and, you know, we like Louis Leterrier, you know, he did a good job on The Incredible Hulk and that mm-hmm. movie Unleashed. So, you know, hey, it did great in the box office
yeah.
this first weekend anyway. So, you know,
good
there
for
you
it.
Go. Good for it. Okay, so next we have coming out April 30th, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
So another in kind of this long line of them rebooting
yes.
horror franchises.
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things where it's not based on a real story. It's
mm-hmm.
not like based on a book. It's a scary character that, you know, I guess it makes sense to reboot because just based on the fact that the original, like, the bad things happened in what, like, the '70s or the '80s or.
Well, yeah, I mean, the original movie came out in 1984,
right?
And so, yeah, it was.
But
based
it was
on
referencing to events that had happened, what, in the late '70s,
well,
had they happened?
I think
at
they
that
happened.
Time?
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, it happened about 10 years before, because the whole thing was, like, the children
yeah.
of the people who killed Freddy. Yeah.
Right, so, you know, at this point, it's getting to the grandchildren of the people that killed Freddy.
Yeah.
You know, and so in that respect, I could, you know, I can see that maybe you would want to reboot it.
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, I think that they've already done a bunch of these horror remakes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Platinum Dunes, which Jerry Bruckheimer's company, has kind of been the one doing all of them. You know, they did Texas Chainsaw, they did Friday the 13th, and they're going to continue doing them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, at least the funny thing about Nightmare on Elm Street is, you know, first, the original, you know, Freddy was really scary in the original, and he kind of got more comical as the sequels went
right.
on. I love the sequels. I always liked how funny Freddy was. I thought it was, like, it sort of added insult to injury that he, you know, not only made fun of you, you know, but then he killed you.
Well, it also made it easier for us as kids to you know, handle all the violence
yeah.
that was going on still.
And, of course, it got gorier as time went on, too. I think what's funny about the first movie is, you know, I'm sure a lot of people know, but I believe it was Johnny Depp's first on-screen role in the original movie. He gets killed. And, you know, the interesting thing about this new movie is they really did a good job casting it.
Yeah.
First
they
and
pretty
foremost,
much ensured that we will go.
Yeah, that's the issue. I'm so angry. You know, first and foremost, I have an aversion to these remakes. You know, these movies are the movies of our childhood. And though they weren't, you know, fantastic, they had a certain kind of, you know, grittiness and kind of meanness that came with the 80s. And I think, you know, in this new one, they have a great cast. Like, Jackie Earle Haley is, like, you know, a geek god at this point. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
No one could have been better to play Rorschach. He was by far the bright shining star of Watchmen. And, you know, of course, he was a child actor who left for years, came back, Little Children, got nominated for an Oscar. And we love him right now for Human Target. So
mm-hmm.
you can't go wrong, Jackie Earle Haley. You know, other than that, though, there is, like, pretty much everyone, you know, that we like is in this. You know, Katie Cassidy from, you know, of course, Supernatural. Kyle Gallner, who was on Smallville. Thomas Decker, who was in Sarah Connor Chronicles. I mean, even Clancy Brown from Highlander, which, by the way, we're going to be talking about. They are planning on remaking Highlander. And I think that it's one of those things where, you know, they have Samuel Bayer. They have a music video director directing it. He really hasn't done any movies, which might not be a bad thing.
No.
I think it's one of those things where they're going to try to keep Freddy a little darker and not as comical, which I personally don't like, but at the same time, it is the first movie, so, you know, what are you
yeah.
going to do?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's one of those things where, even though they're kind of classic to us and our generation, they're not classics.
Yeah.
They're not actual classic
not
films.
At all.
They're horror flicks, and so, you know, it's they didn't really have much meaning.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, people, you know, get mad at us if you want. There's some movies that we're gonna keep it real. There's a few movies out there that, you know, they're classic in their own way, like you said, but they're not great films.
Uh-huh.
We're not talking about Citizen Kane here,
yeah.
you know. I mean, it is A Nightmare on Elm Street. And so, you know, it's kind of a bummer they're redoing it, but it's so funny. Look at Robert Englund, who, you know, really Freddy was his main role, and, you know, he had been in a few other things, but look at Jack Earl Haley. He's, like, a great actor.
Yeah.
And he's taking the part of, like, a Freddy Krueger, and it's just really funny to see, you know, how times have changed and how these movies are starting to become, you know, I guess have more prestige in one way or another.
Yeah, yeah, people are just kind of more interested in being in a kind of variety of genres.
Definitely,
now.
Definitely. So I'm not against this one, especially because, yeah, you know, we saw Friday the 13th. I hated Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but Friday the 13th totally had boobs in it. So, yeah, you know, I was all on board. It's, you know, because I believe in continuity from the 80s.
Right.
Oh, actually, let me just say one thing that was really funny about Nightmare on Elm Street. There, on IMDb, they say that originally Billy Bob Thornton was considered as Freddy.
Well, I mean, that would be creepy.
Can you imagine that? Hey, I'm Freddy. How's it going? You want to drink a beer before I kill you? Yeah, I don't think that would have worked out all that well. All right, now to the most painful one, I think, of all of them. Out June 11th this summer is the remake of the 1984 movie The Karate Kid.
We have gone over our feelings about The Karate Kid over and over again. I mean, just the simple fact that they're calling it The Karate Kid with no regard for the fact that, A, he's not learning karate.
Yeah.
He's not even in the right, you know, country where he would have learned karate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find it offensive, first off, to just act like all martial arts are the same.
Yep.
and that the martial arts from different countries in Asia are the same, and that those countries aren't at odds with each other anyway, and that wouldn't maybe, you know, create some harshness.
Well, it just sucks because it feels like the same ethnocentrism I grew up with as
a
kid.
Exactly.
You know, everyone's like, I was like, no, they're doing karate, or that person's Japanese, not Chinese. And I would always have these idiots be like, same difference. And I hated people like that. You know? That ignorance is not okay.
Yeah.
And to have like a major studio kind of propagate that is like, really?
Yeah.
It's really lame. And, you know, I get it. You know, Kung Fu is more popular now. You couldn't have called it The Karate Kid Kung Fu something. You couldn't have given it like a subtitle at least.
You know what, if you want to keep it all part of the franchise, fine. You know, the idea of a kid moving to a new place and kind of having to stand up for himself, and in this case it's an actual kid.
Yeah, he's actually,
so
yeah, like,
you know, I guess he's more kid, but not karate.
Yeah,
there is no karate involved.
Yeah.
And so I mean, it's strange and kind of offensive.
It's very offensive just because it feels like they could care less. It feels like they don't care that they're coming off like kind of, you know, very, I mean, what do you say?
Yeah.
It just comes off really poorly. And, you know, we've talked at length about how we don't like this, and hopefully they'll change it, but I don't think they will. The whole point is they own Karate Kid, so they're going to make a movie with the Karate Kid, you know, banner, so they can make more money off people, you know, who like the original ones.
I also have no problem with Will Smith's kid getting into acting. You know, Will Smith proved that you know, you could take a guy at 17 or whatever and turn him into someone who would later become a real actor.
Yeah.
And is, you know, his son really seems to want to, like, follow in his footsteps, seems to really, you know, want to be just like dad. And so, you know, I'm all good with Jaden getting into acting, but everything about this movie seems strange.
I agree. And, you know, to be frank, I also agree. You know, I think Jaden Smith, I think that, you know, he's a good little actor. I was very impressed with him in The Pursuit of Happiness with his father. We just watched The Day the Earth Stood Still the other day, and it really occurred to me watching The Day the Earth Stood Still and seeing these previews of Karate Kid is, you know, it almost feels like half the time these movies are being made so Jaden Smith can have a vehicle.
Yeah.
Because they seem to kind of have to restructure a lot of things around him being Jaden Smith, you know.
Yeah.
Now Daniel LaRusso is now, you know,
Dre
Parker, and, you know, he's now got to be in what, elementary or middle school because Jaden Smith is.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it just feels like, you know, same thing with The Earth Stood Still. They kind of had to, like, really do a lot of script, you know, exposition work out of the way just to make sense for his character to exist. And so, you know, but that's not the main issue. The main issue, of course, is the fact that The Karate Kid doesn't go to China and learn Kung Fu.
Yeah.
That would be the Kung Fu Kid.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is that, you know, if you're going to a place where the martial arts are actually a huge thing, and you're doing martial arts, it's a lot different than you're in America, where martial arts is kind of a select activity for people, and you happen to come upon a group of people that really know martial arts that are beating you up, then you learn martial arts. It's,
totally.
You know, there's a lot more people who just regularly do martial arts or at least some sort of, you know, exercise in the martial arts.
Sure.
You know, like Tai Chi even, like you know, just in Asia in general.
Right.
You know, and so it's a very different thing than a kid in America moving to a new place within America.
Yeah.
It's everything about the story is very much changed. And again, I think our biggest problem, I think we wouldn't even be hearkening on anything else if they were to just make the name, you know, Karate Kid, colon, Kung Fu.
That's it.
Kung Fu Boy.
Yeah,
you know, like Kung Fu Guy, Kung Fu Dudes.
Like we said, you know, we have no problem with Jaden Smith. We love that Jackie Chan is, you know, still working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these scenes we have no problem with. It's just the title. And it just seems to be a big, you know, for lack of a better term, F you to everybody.
Puts a shadow over the whole
thing.
Totally.
Now, there is a small silver lining. The guy who wrote the original three Karate Kids is writing the screenplay for this one. So, you know, at least hopefully there'll be a little bit of that, you know, OG flavor.
Yeah, at least I can hope that it'll have the same feeling, the same charm. But really, they really have to think about changing the name even now.
And this is even more of a silver lining. The guy who's directing it already directed an awesome remake, Pink Panther 2.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy. I hope my, I don't know if my sarcasm voice was working there or not.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just move on.
Yeah, let's
do
away
that.
Away from that.
Yes, okay. Well, the next movie is actually more of a reboot than anything else. This movie will come out July 9th, and it's Predators.
You know, there was such a time and a place for the original Predator movie. I mean, you had all these guys. Some of them weren't even really actors, per se. I mean, you know, you had Arnold and you had Jesse Ventura, who, you know, later became a governor, you know, and list off some of the other people.
Oh, in this group, like you said, there's Arnold and there's Jesse the Body Ventura. There's Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed from Rocky, and even Shane Black, who wrote it, was the first guy to go down, Hawkins. What's his name? The big guy who played Billy. He was super awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that all of these guys, there aren't too many guys like that now.
No.
It's like, you know, all I can see is them going to the WWE or whatever it's called now.
Yeah, totally.
UFC, UA, I don't know.
Well, it's funny because, you know, they went to a totally different kind of cast. You know, it's, let me just tell you what the plot is, because it is a reboot. It's not like the original one, which is a bunch of commandos go in because, you know, a bunch of guys got captured and they find out there's an alien killing all of them.
Right, and that was all
that was the
on
original
Earth
one.
And
it was all
jungle.
On Earth, and yeah, exactly. The new one is a group of elite warriors all end up crash landing on the Predator planet, and they're basically hunted by the Predators, and that's kind of the main story.
So this is going to be another one that humans are kind of jerks and have, you know, landed on a planet that's not theirs and then just expect everyone to love them.
I guess, you know, I don't know. It's very much the Pitch Black sort of idea. You know, you just kind of go to a planet and, you know, kind of try to survive.
Okay.
The local predators.
So it's a survival thing. You know, I don't really know how I feel about this. It kind of feels like the plot of Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, very much. Very much.
You know, I guess if you're going to reboot it, then don't do it the same way. At least I don't know.
Well, you know, it's called Predators. You know, it's now plural instead of singular as the original one was. I think it couldn't really get much worse than Predator 2 or Alien vs. Predator either one.
True.
I think it's got a very interesting cast. These are the elite warriors. Alice Braga, and she was the main lady in I Am Legend. Topher Grace, he's an elite warrior. If I've ever seen one, you did see Spider-Man 3. He was very intimidating. Adrian Brody, he was in King Kong. You know, he fought a giant gorilla. So there you go. He's elite.
I'm sorry. Are you sure you have the right
list? Oh, yeah. This is it. Yeah. Now, actually, the next one, I believe, is an elite warrior. Finally, we got somebody. Danny Trejo.
Oh, yeah. He's
awesome.
Totally an elite warrior.
Yeah, he's totally cool. That's not even sarcasm. And, you know, Lawrence Fishburne, who we love, Lawrence Fishburne. You know, of course, among other things, you know, Morpheus and Ike Turner. And what's love got to do with it?
If these are elite warriors, what do they do? Like work at computers and
robots
or something?
I think it's like, you know, the Geek Squad. At Best Buy, all ended up, you know, getting sent to a planet.
Well, it's kind of like watching Chuck, and you got
John
Casey, you know, John Casey and everyone else.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would say the one silver lining for this, you know, is that a Robert Rodriguez produced it, and he didn't try to shove Rose McGowan in the cast.
Oh, that's
so
true.
You know, I mean, that already happened
with
Conan.
That hasn't been working out.
Yeah,
for him.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah, I wonder why. But yeah, honestly, for the Predators, you know, I know there's a lot of people who are purists, but I look at it this way: it's sort of like
you have two options. Either the Predator goes away as a character, because we really don't need another Alien versus Predator
That's
movie.
True.
Or, you know, you reboot it. Honestly, I don't think this is the worst kind of thing. It keeps a character going that people like.
I agree with you, but my biggest problem with it was the original. You've got these guys who are all gigantic.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're gigantic, if somebody can, with no effort at all, lift them off the ground
right.
into a tree.
Yeah.
If with no effort, these huge, strong, muscly guys
yeah.
can be ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. If Topher Grace gets ripped to shreds, yeah. I go, well, yeah.
Well, it's really funny.
Like, you know, like Braga yeah. could have done that herself.
Exactly.
You know?
I totally agree with you. Well, it's funny you say that because all of these actors, you know, with exception of Danny Trejo and Lawrence Fishburne, are like Shane Black, the first guy to go.
Yeah.
The little skinny guy. I agree. You know, it was in the 80s, which is sort of the age of the He-Men. But
that's what makes things scarier.
You're right. It made sense. You know, there were these big guys who they went into the jungle, and after they, you know, after they shot all their guns and ran out of ammo mm-hmm. shooting the jungle, they were still these big, huge, intimidating guys
yeah.
who, you know, had to go hand-to-hand combat with the Predator. And, you know, that alone made it kind of really interesting and really cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, a Topher Grace and even Adrian Brody wouldn't even be able to get his arms around a Predator to, you know, to stab at it,
yeah.
you know? Like, it just doesn't work. I
Guns,
yeah.
I guess, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't all about the time and the big, huge guys, but for Predator, it made sense.
I totally agree.
You send your ginormous men. I mean, you know, like...
You send your ginormous men and my invisible alien will take them on.
Seriously, it's like, this is like, you know, a perfect time to have that you know, that guy from the Marine.
Yeah. Like Leonard Damon.
Yeah, Leonard Damon.
Michael Cena.
John Cena,
yes.
Yes. To us, he is Matt Damon's yes. creepy brother.
Though we liked him very much in that Psych episode.
Yeah, Juliet's brother.
The Marine's the funniest thing ever. If you ever want to watch
it,
like, but all I know is being a Marine. Yeah, well, the problem is you're a gigantic freak who can't turn his head, so you're really no help to us in combat situations.
Yeah.
No, but you're right, though, because that's the old model of the hero,
mm-hmm.
You know, like the Arnold, and that's kind of gone. And, you know, Danny Trejo, I don't know if he's still jacked or not, but, you know... Lawrence Fishburne ain't exactly Morpheus anymore.
Yeah, I mean, at least Danny Trejo kind of has that, like, he can just give that look
yeah,
that
totally.
Makes you like, oh my God, I'm just going to run now. But, like, you know, what are they going to do? Have Lawrence Fishburne and Danny Trejo survive the entire thing? Like, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't want to see Topher Grace or Adrian Brody, you know, running away from Predators. And if they're going to be stabbing at Predators and winning, then really? Really? That's what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's one of those things where it's going to be real. They have a challenge to make it cool, especially given the fact that these all seem like, you know, they all seem like, you know, that episode of Legion of Superheroes where all the B-side, you know, superheroes
yeah,
all team
Legion
up.
Of Substitutes.
That's sort of what it feels like. It's
yeah.
like, it's like, who are these people? But, you know,
and
like I said, they're space explorers.
Who
so they're more like,
landed.
Yeah, so that, you know, they're more like the crew in Alien. Than, you know, than the crew in Predator.
Yeah, you know, it's again one of those runaway stories.
Yeah.
It's and I don't really know what to say about that. That's all it feels like. It feels like a story
yeah.
where they're going to run away, and if they're not just running away, then I'm going to be rolling my eyes.
Well, I want to know if it's going to be Danny Trejo, Lawrence Fishburne, you know, anybody who says, you're one ugly, you know,
yeah.
when he takes off the mask. That's all I want to know. And if they can find a way to make explosive arrows, that would also be cool. Because that's one of my favorite parts of the original movie. But, yes, so Predators will be coming out July 9th, whether you like it or not. I've subtitled it Planet of the Predators, just because I felt, you know, that pretty much wrapped it all up.
Yeah.
All right. This is another very interesting one. Not quite as offensive as The Karate Kid, but 1984's Red Dawn remake will be coming out November 24th.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it's really weird. Well, if you remember, you know, the original is about a bunch of Colorado teenagers. They all flee to the mountains because, you know, of course, the Soviets and Cubans have invaded America. And they and their guerrilla, you know, ragtag team of wildcats take on the USSR and the invasion. And, you know, this movie is all about paranoia of the Cold War.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
100% all about it.
And
yeah. And I can't even imagine why they're remaking this other than the fact that it was a popular 80s movie.
Yeah, you know, it's really, it's just really, really strange. Everything about this, the old one, what, they came in through Mexico?
Yes.
Like, they came
yes.
and invaded through Mexico, uh-huh. by, like, you know, Canada, not Canada, Cuba through Mexico.
I believe so, yes.
And you know, okay, that's, I can sort of see that. And you know what would have been interesting for this? If maybe they had made it like, you know, right now there's a big drug problem around the Mexico-California border kind
yeah.
of thing. So, you know, maybe instead of making it, what is it? It's
well, that's what we haven't even told you yet. Yeah, in the remake, this time it's going to be a group of teenagers who fight against an invasion of the Chinese and Russian soldiers. So at least they kept the Russians in there.
Yeah, okay. Now, if the, you know, if you change it to, like, you know, some Mexican drug lords are, you know, starting something up and, you know, coming
yeah.
in through Mexico
yeah.
and, you know, then that's one thing. But I'm sorry, where are the Chinese coming in through, and how are,
well,
like...
to me, that's the least of the problems. You're right. That
like,
is
at least,
an issue.
At least Russia, you could, you know, well, claim that they'll come through, you know, the wilds of Alaska.
Well, this is just asking for trouble. I mean, it's just a stupid remake, but it's sort of like, you can, there's been, like, lots of movies with, like, Chinese bad guys, but it's always been, like, Triad or
yeah.
you know, some kind of game. They're actually saying that the country of China is going to invade America.
Yeah, yeah. As though
China
not...
is not our enemy. I know there's a lot of people out there who don't like the fact that,
well, maybe
China's
after this
communist.
Movie.
Exactly. But they're not our enemy. We don't have a Cold War going on with China.
Yeah.
Why are we making a movie saying the Chinese are going to invade us with
mm-hmm.
Russia?
Yeah.
Do the Chinese and Russians even get along? Does it make sense? When the Cold War existed and there was the USSR in Cuba and there were both Soviet nations or both communist nations, it made sense.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as them invading America
well,
through
yeah.
Mexico can make sense.
Yeah.
But now it's just like... It's just insulting. Like,
yeah.
it just felt like there's no reason to make this other than the fact that it's an 80s movie that was popular. So why wouldn't we remake it? And let's not even worry about the political implications of what we're doing.
Yeah, it's really, really strange. And I don't even know. Like, I have enough of a problem with remaking things from the 80s. It's just too soon anyway. But whatever. I'm not even going to get into that now. But you're right. They're essentially trying to create an enemy of a country.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, no. They're not our enemy. No matter what we don't necessarily agree with, our country is not at war with their country. And, you know, building up the animosity isn't exactly a good thing.
Well, I suppose the irony would be, you know, that a good chunk of that money, you know, will probably end up, you know, help to pay our debt to China, since, you know, they own most of America's debt anyway. So
I actually think Japan owns
most of it. It does now, yes, Japan. And, well, they will use that to build giant robots, which they should do anyway.
Oh,
that'd
yeah.
be totally awesome. But, yeah, I'm not really sure why this is a good idea, and it's not, but they're remaking it. So Patrick Swayze's character is now Chris Hemsworth, you know, which is,
really?
Of course, Thor. Yes.
That's weird.
Yes. And
is he going to be Australian, or are they going to make him talk in an American accent?
Well, we're pretty sure he can do an American accent. He
yeah,
did one in Star Trek. So I'm assuming since he is the older brother in this Colorado town,
oh,
he will not be Australian.
Gotcha.
Yes. And then, you know, the Powers Booth character is now Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I love
so,
Jeffrey
you know,
Dean Morgan.
He's awesome. Yeah, we love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He's super cool. We loved him as the comedian in Supernatural, amongst other things. You know, Leah Thompson's character is now going to be Isabel Lucas, who is in Transformers
yeah.
2. I think that, and this is the strangest thing. Charlie Sheen is being played by Josh Peck. He was in that Drake and Josh in that Whackness movie.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even going to go there because I don't know what to say. I think this is a bad idea.
Yeah, nothing about this is a good idea.
Nothing about, I mean, the first movie is great because it's schlocky and it's silly and it's from the 80s and it's sort of like this teen sort of, you know, it's sort of like this teenage fantasy of like, we can solve all the problems the stupid adults are in.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the 80s are all about, you know, kid power.
Yeah, and like Short Round in Temple of Doom.
Exactly. And not only that, but technology today, like, do you think that they're being able to do to have this mobilization, you know, to invade the entire country?
Well, only if they want to do it on YouTube.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, that's, you know, everyone's got cell cameras. So what, they're going to first knock out the satellites, right? Like,
yeah.
Everyone's satellites.
Yes.
And take out all the ground lines, landlines, anything like that. And, yeah, the internet makes this kind of thing way, way harder,
yeah.
especially in America.
I really, this doesn't piss me off as much as Karate Kid, but it really...
kind of worries me how nobody has a problem with the Chinese invading us in this movie. I've yet to hear one person saying, why are they doing that? That doesn't seem like a good idea. One thing, though, to note, in the original, Ron O'Neill, Mr. Superfly, was in the original. I had no idea.
He better
but
be in the
we
remake.
Just did our awesome... I believe he's... Isn't he deceased?
Well, yeah, but doesn't mean they can't play, you know, like an old clip or Superfly, for that matter. Maybe
yes.
instead of the movie, they should just play Superfly.
Well, Superfly did, in fact, know martial arts. So,
yeah.
You know, he might be able to
help them.
Yes, he could fight the Chinese.
Oh.
And by the way, good news, the Chinese will not be doing karate, no matter how bad the Karate Kid tries to teach you that. Yeah. So, you know, he's got that going for him,
that's
too.
That's good.
Yes. So should we move on to the next one?
Maybe we should actually take our first break.
Alrighty then.
Sit back, relax, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Two people who really get upset about Smallville. Geek World. Geek World. Bumpin' Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So this is our remake show, and we've been going over some of the remakes that are in the works for this year. So what's up next?
There's so many. All right. So what we got next is Tron Legacy, coming out December 17th. Now, it is to be noted that Tron Legacy is both a remake and a sequel.
How is that possible?
I know, right? Well, I'll tell you. It's a remake because, you know, it has the basic story of, like, the young man who gets trapped in the computer and has to do a bunch of gladiatorial stuff in order to survive. But it's a sequel in that Jeff Bridges' character is back, and so is Bruce Boxlenter's character are back as their same roles years later. So it's sort of, you know, it's sort of both. You know, I think what's most exciting about this movie is this is going to be actual 3D.
Yeah.
What we talked about in the last show, that went through on and on about 3D and the conversion, how that's bad, and the stuff, you know, shot in real 3D is great, like, you know, Resident Evil Afterlife. Well, this is going to be shot in 3D, and
it's cool.
Olivia Wilde in 3D. Can't wait. I mean, Tron is beloved, but I sense a lot of anticipation for this,
yeah.
Especially considering they're bringing back, like I said, Jeff Bridges and a lot of the other characters from the original.
You know, I actually think that this this sequel slash remake is actually a good idea.
I agree.
Because it truly pays homage to the original. It doesn't just pay homage to it; it incorporates it.
Yeah,
and the one thing that it really does is it takes the important parts of the original storyline and incorporates that. We're going to be talking later about another movie we watched that's a remake where they kind of left out all of the important plot points and kept in all those little things that make you go, hey, that was in the original.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
But yeah, this makes sure to not just, you know, incorporate the character names, but to truly incorporate the characters, the plot, and
I agree. You know, there's two movies I can think of that I consider the same thing which is a sequel and a remake. That would be Evil Dead 2,
mm-hmm.
And Desperado.
Mm-hmm.
They're both in their ways sequels and remakes of the first film. So I think that it's a good way to go, and we're very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, must I say it again? Olivia Wilde in 3D. Come on. All right, next we're going to, this one is probably a lot of people have different, you know, pros or cons on, and that's True Grit, which is coming out December 25th. It's a remake of the John Wayne 1969 movie. Basically, it's about a teenage girl whose father gets killed, so she hires a tough old marshal who has grit, who was in the original, was played by John Wayne, and they're accompanied by a Texas Ranger named LeBeauf, and they go out and, you know, try to catch the bad guys. And basically, the reason I'm sure a lot of people would be upset because it's a John Wayne movie. It's a classic John Wayne movie. A lot of people have heard of True Grit. However, I think it's really interesting, first and foremost, that the Coens are remaking it. You know, they're great filmmakers. You know, when they every year they make like an Academy Award winning film and then like a fun film. You know, they did Fargo and then they did the Big Lebowski. They did No Country for Old Men and they did Burn After Reading. They're fantastic filmmakers. I can't imagine a better director team to do something like this. And I also think they proved in you know, Blood Simple and No Country for Old Men that they can do like westerns really well.
Yeah.
Now the other thing I think is really awesome is you're never going to replace John Wayne.
Yeah.
It's funny, we just started watching Justified with Timothy Oliphant. He's playing very much a John Wayne, Clint Eastwood type character. And
by the way, Justified has wiped away Hitman for
Oh,
me.
My God.
Yeah.
Oliphant at his best. He's amazing at it. And so, you know, there are a few and far between guys who can play that kind of character. What I think is really interesting is they went with somebody who not only could play that character, but is a fantastic actor, which is Jeff Bridges. And he's going to be playing the John Wayne character. And I think that's a really good idea for a few reasons. First and foremost, like I said, you're not going to replace John Wayne. And secondly, you know, Jeff Bridges is just a great actor. And we saw by him in Iron Man, he's not just, you know, the dude, he's also, he can play a sinister character.
I think that it's a good idea to have Jeff Bridges because, you know, as we've talked about before, there really aren't any John Waynes now. There are no cowboys. You know? I love Oliphant and Justified, but you know, he's so pretty.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, it's just hard to get over the pretty, you know, like, there's no one that I really think of as like, you know, as that gritty cowboy.
Yeah.
But, the great thing about True Grit is that it's an older cowboy. It's not about the kid, you know. It's a, you know, someone who's been there for years, and like, and so Jeff Bridges, he's freaking awesome.
He's awesome. I mean, he's great in everything.
And he's great with the co-host.
I just think it's funny. I can't imagine John Wayne, if he were alive, he realized the dude was playing him in True Grit. This is the best thing ever.
Hey, you know what? The dude's an Oscar winner.
That's true. Matt Damon will be playing the LaBeouf character. I was kind of sad I didn't get, you know, Shia LaBeouf, because that would have just been much easier. They could have just basically said his own name. Josh Brolin will be in it. Of course, No Country for Old Men. And now this is just very strange. Barry Pepper, who I like, by the way, has been cast as Lucky Ned Pepper. I'm starting to think
that's
the
weird.
Fix was in on that one. We need someone to play someone with the name Pepper.
Only
Pepper?
That would only be true if they had hired Shia for the other role.
That's true.
You know,
well, that's why. They decided if we can't go with Shia, we're going to get Barry Pepper. You know, I say I like Barry Pepper, except you know what movie he starred in, right?
No.
Oh, Battlefield Earth. Don't blame him, though. He was a young guy at the time. He was impressionable.
Hey, you're the guy that made it apologize.
Yes, thank God. All right, let's go on next. This one, I think, is going to piss everyone off. I can't imagine anyone wanting to see this. We're going to only talk briefly about it. It's a remake of 1971 Sam Peckinpah's Straw Dogs. It's coming out February 25th of 2011. The original, starring Dustin Hoffman, it's a classic revenge film. Sam Peckinpah did The Wild Bunch. And also, you know, this movie has so much cult status that, you know, the movie Reservoir Dogs that Quentin Tarantino directed?
Yep.
He got dogs from the title of Straw Dogs. Because Reservoir Dogs is two different titles from two different movies that he put together that he liked.
I have to say, it's a very strange idea to remake cult things.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want people to even remake Fight Club at any point.
Exactly, because that wouldn't make any sense.
It's weird. You know, it's like you just don't take a cult thing and then remake it because it's a cult thing for a reason.
Well, you know, it's a time and a place too. I agree. And I think a time and a place, you know, this was 71. It's like when they try to remake blaxploitation films.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was big in the 70s? Rape and revenge. Every movie you've ever seen from the 70s has someone getting raped and someone getting revenge.
Yeah, or at least someone trying to.
Exactly. And, you know, this the original movie, Dustin Hoffman and his wife move to England. They get bullied. She gets raped. Violence ensues when he gets revenge. This one is starring James Marsden as the Dustin Hoffman character and Kate Bosworth as his wife.
Mm.
And they move to the South, where she's from. And so they change it for no apparent reason. I like James Marsden and everything. I can see pissing more people off than anything else.
I think, first off, you know, like you said, time and a place for certain things where, you know, where you could kind of get away with that kind of thing doesn't mean that you should be able to get away with it now.
Yeah.
And you can't. And the other thing is that they always make them way more just, like, obscene and gratuitous now. Whereas,
totally.
Like, before, they were still, like, way over the top. And, I mean, you know, movies like I Spit on Your Grave and stuff are so over the top. But that's kind of... That's you know, it's so over the top that the over-the-top revenge is then acceptable.
Yeah, well...
And in these, they just get... I don't know. It's almost like they get very much like the torture porn movies, you know?
I mean, the 70s, like I said, it was just all about that. It was all about these horrible rape scenes. And the 70s is all about pushing boundaries, too, in film.
Yeah.
It was like what we can get away with while we still can get away with it.
And now you know what you can get away with.
Exactly.
You know, the MPAA tells you.
And I don't understand why they're remaking these revenge films like they're doing well. You know, Last House on the Left, which was a remake of a revenge horror film, didn't really do well. I don't think that Mel Gibson, Edge of Darkness, did all that well. So I'm not really sure why they're doing it, other than piss everyone off. But if you're a fan of True Blood, Alexander Skarsgård is going to be in it. So, you know, you got that going for it. Now, after that, it's all just pretty much a long list of the stuff that they have no date for, but they're in the works. Friday 13th Part 2. who cares? I don't care who's in it. Yeah. I don't care. We saw the first one. Who cares?
Yeah.
Spider-Man, you know, 3D reboot. All we know is it's going to come out July 3rd, 2012. It's going to be in 3D, and Mark Webb, who directed 500 Days of Summer, is going to direct it.
Well, at least they got someone who knows about webs.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Once again, it's like the pepper thing. What's going on around here? You know, we don't have any information on this, and we've already talked about in length how we feel about them rebooting it.
It's weird.
It's very strange.
It's really weird.
Yeah. Next, though, Dimension Films is going to be making a remake of 1986's Short Circuit.
Well, at least I hear that the original people that wrote Short Circuit, I think, were writing this one or something.
No,
like,
no, they might have been at one point, oh. But now it's written by Dan Milano, who's written for Robot Chicken and Greg the Bunny.
Huh.
And it's directed by Steve Carr, who directed the blockbuster Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Now, okay, see, I was more up for this when I had heard that the original writers were working on the script.
I mean, maybe I have my facts wrong. Maybe they are, but...
No, I think it was last year or a couple months ago, at least.
You know, I will say this. I love Short Circuit as a kid. Yeah. I think the one reason I don't mind this is, you know, this stuff's actually happening now. You know, there are military robots, you know, roaming, you know, war zones. And, you know, there's those, you know, the planes that you can...
The drones.
The drones, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And it would be interesting to see how they, you know, how they make Johnny Five, because, you know, Wally already stole his look.
Exactly.
It's funny because they wouldn't even necessarily have to remake him much, although he would probably be smaller because those bomb defusing robots are kind of smaller.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they could still make him look the same, especially because Johnny Five, there's a lot of stuff he could do. He had, like, the laser visor, and he could, like, I think he can probably, he's probably going to be, like, a cool hacking robot now. Yeah. There's going to be all kinds of things he can do.
They just better not take his personality away, like, not,
yes.
You know, he's got to be that same wacky, goofy personality, and they can't make it and try and make it a serious movie. This is a comedy, pure and simple, and it's got to stay that way.
Yeah, I mean, come on, he did a gang rap in the second one.
Yeah.
Los Locos kick your butt. I mean, he's wacky, like you said, and I agree. They have to keep that zany character. He can't be cool. He can't be like the cool robot with issues from the past.
Yeah,
you know, like
it comes in a leather
they
jacket.
Made me kill like... somebody. Yeah, it's like it's not going to work. But you know, the original Short Circuit. I think some people just kind of need to check their childhood memories at the door.
Yeah.
It was great when you're 8 years old.
But there's so much that now could be kind of revamped, even just idea-wise.
Yeah.
But I implore them to, if they're going with technology, to not go beyond the technology that they've even created. Because that's another thing with some of these movies now, that they create a technology for their alien or their robot.
Sure.
And then they all of a sudden, you know, the robot can cut through 30 feet of steel, but not a chain fence.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so they got to really watch it with that kind of thing. And go with science here. May science be with you. Go with science. Go with technology. See where it's really leading.
Well, you know, they could do a lot of really interesting things with now. He can have a Wi-Fi hookup in his head, you know, where he could get information from anywhere. Exactly. So there's a lot of options. And I think this one doesn't bother me as much as a lot of the other ones. Really not at all. All right. Next up, this one is more of a rumor than anything else. But, you know, they've been talking for a while now that they might remake The Fly. David Cronenberg's Fly from 1986. Yes, Brundlefly. Which, you know, in itself is a remake of the 1958 movie.
Right.
And, you know, they're talking about that the last report was from last year that David Cronenberg was thinking about developing it to write and direct. And I got to say, you know, if they're going to remake it, I would rather David Cronenberg remake it because, you know, it's a really great kind of sick, gory film. The problem is, you know, Jeff Goldblum, he owns that part.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say about Jeff Goldblum, he is perfect for that role.
Well, there's also not really a reason to remake it. It was such a quality film in so many ways. It's really a titular horror film, you know?
Yeah. It's very well done, very professional.
Yeah, and it's not a horror flick. It's a true film in the horror genre.
It's a good blend of sci-fi and horror, too.
Yeah, and Jeff Goldblum is amazing. And
Gina Davis.
And Gina Davis is incredible. And yeah, it's one of those things where it's not like that technology now exists, you know? And so it's kind of strange. There isn't really, there isn't really a reason to remake it. But if they're going to remake it, then sure, Cronenberg.
You know, Goldblum's really funny because he has this kind of air about him, especially when he was younger, that, you know, you could like him, you could believe he was a super genius. And also the stuff when he was playing, like, Super Brundlefly, you know, he was in good shape. So you kind of believed everything the character went through.
Oh, is it going to star Mohinder?
Hopefully, my father's research. We can only hope. So, you know,
yeah.
what are you going to do? I think
I don't know why, but
I think, you know, I think as long as you know, David Cronenberg does it, I'd be less against it. So next up, this one is really strange, but they're remaking Escape from New York.
I don't even know. You know, it's funny. It seems like a kind of stupid idea, to be perfectly honest, with all of these new ones that have come out and that kind of in the doomsday is,
yeah.
You know, just any of these, even the Resident Evils where, you know, they lock up a city and, you know.
I agree. You know, there's a lot of this stuff, but also, you remember what we were saying for Predator and for John Wayne and how there's not a lot of, like, manly men around right now in Hollywood? I mean, Kurt Russell is the man of Snake Plissken. Like, he's totally the man. He is, like, is a great anti-hero that people, you know, have just, you know, they've loved for years. And it's going to be really interesting to try to cast that character.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to cast it? Because he had that perfect, you know, he was at that perfect time where he seemed like he had been through a lot, but he was still kind of like young and cool.
Just watch. It's going to be like Zac Efron.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He's like Taylor Lautner, Snake Plissken.
It's like, no, he's not.
Yeah. He's like, do you like my eye patch? No.
I was totally a war hero. Yeah.
Look at me.
Back in the day.
Look at my abs with my matching scars.
You weren't alive back in the day.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, you can't even go crazy like Tom Cruise. I'm Snake Plissken. It's just not going to work, you know?
You know, it's like they'll probably, you know, cast like a Hugh Jackman or something, which I love Hugh Jackman, but he's not Kurt Russell.
No, he's really not. Kurt Russell is one of those special guys like Will Smith who could do comedy as well as action.
Yeah, and can also do kind of mean.
Yeah, very much. I mean, Snake Plissken is a badass, like a total badass. Now, Alan Loeb, who wrote 21 and the new Wall Street sequel, he's wrote the script, which is one of the reasons they're fast tracking it. And they've changed things a little bit. In the original, they're saving a U.S. president. In this one, he's saving a female senator. Mm-hmm. And also, New York's going to be very different. You know, in the movie, there was World War III in New York, got bombed out, and it became a penal colony.
Well, there was actually a chemical bomb that killed a lot of the people.
Yeah.
But because it was, you know, it was chemical, the poison eventually dissipated.
Right.
And so, you know, so then New York was pretty much clear of people, and they turned it into a penal colony because all you had to do was bomb out the bridges, bomb out the tunnels, and
Well, exactly. Well, in this one, it's going to be a little different. In this one, basically, Manhattan's going to be largely intact. You know, it's going to be sort of like I Am Legend, and basically, a nuclear dirty bomb went off on the city's outskirts, and because of that, they turned it into a penal colony.
Now, that's a little weird because first off, people don't really know much about like what a dirty bomb actually is, and while it's obviously an awful thing, any sort of bomb is horrifying, but a dirty bomb, it's not the same as a regular nuclear attack. It mm-hmm. doesn't spread nuclear material like everywhere. It's it generally kind of holds to a pretty compact area of what actually gets damaged.
Nice.
But it still leaves nuclear material around. So, you know, I'm not saying that these criminals are necessarily smart enough to find it and use it, but you're leaving these criminals on an island with a bunch of nuclear material. Like,
you might have just cracked what the plot is, what the plot of the bad guy is.
I mean, I don't know. It's just,
Maybe they're taking soil samples. We're going to make a big nuke.
I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a really dumb idea. Like, everything about this just... there are certain changes that they seem to have made from the first one that just seem like the wrong way to go.
I don't support this movie at all. I think the original is fantastic. I think it was gritty, dark, perfect actor, perfect time. If they're going to remake it, I hope that Kurt Russell has a role as either the Stacy Keach or the Lee Van Cleef character. Other than that, you know, I don't see why it's necessary. But hey, they're going to make it either way. Now this one's
maybe he'll be cabbie.
Yes, he'll be the crazy cabbie. Now this is really interesting. I want to know your opinion on Robert Zemeckis, who of course brought us recently A Christmas Carol, Beowulf, and The Polar Express. Along with, you know, many other things, he's going to do a mocap version of the Beatles' Yellow Submarine.
That's weird.
That's a little weird, huh? The original was 1968.
But they're using the actual Beatles music, right? Like they're
using the actual Beatles music, but it's going to be all done by the cover band Fab Four. Not the actual Beatles.
That's weird.
Yeah, well, I gotta assume that they got the rights to the movie and the likeness of the Beatles, but not to the actual songs, which I believe were Does Michael Jackson's estate still own them, or did they sell them off?
I don't know. A lot of them got sold back off.
The problem is with these things, it's weird, but, like, you know, there's tons of rights things, legal stuff that who cares about, but, apparently, you know, it's going full force. Zemeckis has already hired, people to do the voices and bodies of John Lennon, okay. Ringo Starr.
I gotta stop you. Like,
all right.
I can't even get over how freaking weird it is, first off. But this is another one of those, a time and a place.
Yes.
Like, there was a time when people were on a lot of hallucinogenics.
Yes.
There were a lot of people on a lot of hallucinogenics, uh-huh. and other, you know, mind-altering substances.
That is correct.
And that's why Yellow Submarine, you know, could be Yellow Submarine. Uh-huh. I mean, we all live in a Yellow Submarine. No. No. Like,
that's crazy drug dreams, yo.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know what they're thinking. I don't think they're thinking, you know. Not to mention the fact that, like, isn't there a Yellow Submarine cartoon show? No, just take that. Just...
I don't know. You know, I get the sense that it's one of those things that, you know, the Beatles were really popular last year, remember, because Beatles Rock Band came out and there's a few other things, and maybe they're like, let's ride on that thunder.
You know what? Not all the Beatles are dead yet.
Yeah.
And yet you're getting the Fab Four, really?
Yeah.
Really? Really? Yeah. Really? Have you talked to the live Beatles about that?
That's the thing. Like, why isn't Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr playing themselves? That's the weird part.
Well, why have them when we can have the Fab Four?
Okay. So, you know.
No.
I actually, it's funny. The guy they have playing Lennon, which, of course, you know, he cannot reprise his role. He's actually a decent actor. We've seen him before. He's a guy named Dean Lennox Kelly, which you might not know his name, but he was in Being Human as the werewolf, that werewolf that they met. Mm-hmm. And he was also in that Doctor Who episode as Shakespeare. So, you know, we've seen stuff he's been in.
I like that guy, but no.
Yeah.
No, you know why? Because he's not John Lennon.
Well, here we go. Well,
like it's not.
That's kind of a tall order,
no,
Phil.
No. Yeah, they're not doing a biopic.
Yeah.
They're doing Yellow Submarine. It's just dumb.
Well, maybe this will make you feel better. George Harrison, of course, cannot play his role, so Cary Elwes is going to play him.
I love Cary Elwes, but no.
No?
Not
so much?
You know what? I would rather them take old file footage of these people and then, you know, just import it in or something. But no. It's like... Don't make Yellow Submarine, you freaks.
Yeah.
That's my message to
you.
Yeah.
And they have Adam Campbell, who is married to Jemma Mays, and who was in Disaster Movie or no, the other big movie or whatever, epic movie. Mm. He'll be playing Ringo. So I didn't even write down who's going to play. I have no idea who's going to play Paul McCartney, but
maybe Paul McCartney.
I doubt
maybe,
it.
Maybe they were smart enough to say, "Hey, Paul McCartney, you're alive. Why don't you play yourself?"
I somehow doubt it. I do too. Okay. Well, I have never actually seen the originals, so I go along with you. I don't get it. I don't really get why it's important.
It
to
doesn't
do this.
Matter if you've never seen the original. It's Yellow Submarine. Yeah. Again. Really, really. If someone thought this was a good idea, I'm sure they were on hallucinogenics at the time. Because there's no possible way anyone would have thought to themselves, hey, let's remake Yellow Submarine if they weren't on something.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think that probably part of the allure was, think of it, we can do it in 3D and the Yellow Submarine can be coming at people.
Yeah, maybe that was, you know, hope. What? Like, save that for a submarine ride at Disney.
I just think the biggest problem is, you know, even if the Fab Four is the best of all the bands that do the Beatles, they're not the Beatles.
No, they're not.
Like, it's gonna be weird for people to want to celebrate the Beatles not hearing the Beatles.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. To me, it seems very strange. So this next one, though, I have a big problem with the next one. They're going to remake 1990s sci-fi, in my opinion, classic Total Recall. Basically, this whole thing comes down to the fact that Columbia bought the rights from Miramax, and so they're going to make it because they bought the rights.
Wait, when was the original out?
The original was 1990.
1990?
Yeah.
Well, okay, wait. I'm sorry. The 80s were bad enough, but 1990. They do realize that just happened, like, 20 years ago. But really, that's not that far away. Like, anyone who can buy tickets to the movie... was alive when the first one was out, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think that's even I think there's a few movies that came out later that they're remaking, but yeah. You know, I love Total Recall. It's a great mix. You get Paul Verhoeven, which is a fantastic movie director. Arnold Schwarzenegger, top of his game, Sharon Stone, Michael Ironside. It's an awesome movie. It's based off a Philip K. Dick book. And, you know, apparently all they're going to do is, you know, they already have a script that, I'm sorry, they're getting someone to script it. And it's going to be a more contemporized adaptation, which also doesn't make sense at all, because the whole point was it was all way in the future anyway.
Well,
so,
I mean, the thing is that the future takes on different shapes as the future actually starts to go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe like where the future was leading at that point would be different from where the future seems to be leading at this point.
Yes.
But I just have to give fair warning to any of you morons who are remaking Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. I'm not saying Arnold Schwarzenegger is the best actor or anything, but Arnold Schwarzenegger was a force to be reckoned with, because
he was
just a thing. Like, yeah. I don't mean, like, not a man. He's obviously a man, but he was more than just a man. He was.
Uh-huh, totally.
You know? And so in all of these movies, it wasn't just about the movies. It was very much about Arnold.
Well, yeah, you know, I totally agree. And I also think the interesting thing about it was Arnold made sense for both characters, the normal construction worker and the cool spy that, like, you know, that when he went into the Total Recall, he thought he was or was, depending on, you know, your interpretation. And the thing was, like, you know, I get they're probably going to do like a Bourne Identity type thing, you know, like, and they'll probably get somebody who, you know, doesn't look like Arnold, of course, you know.
Yeah, it'll be, you can't.
Because you can't. But I don't see why it's necessary. It was made by a great director, a great action star at the top of his game, great villains. Like, really, it's just obnoxious that they're remaking this to me.
Yeah.
It's such a cool movie from my childhood. And you know what was cool about Total Recall, too? People should look back and see some of the cool stuff. Like, do you remember they had the whole thing, like the scanners, where when you ran through to get in the subway, it could see the x-ray of your whole body and see if you have guns or weapons?
Mm.
Like, they had that idea in there, and now it's a reality.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's little things like that the original movie have. Though I will have to say one thing is, we know from Good Luck Chuck, they've certainly updated the three boob chick.
Yeah.
So thanks to CGI, they can do that a little better. I'm just insulted they're remaking this. Personally, this is one of the few I cannot stand behind at all, and
mm-hmm.
hope does not get made, because I think it's just ridiculous. They're definitely making a new Conan movie, which isn't exactly Conan the Barbarian. Comes out 2011. They already have a cast for it. It's going to be directed by Marcus Nispel, which, hey, he's already got remake cred. He did Friday the 13th and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, you know, those are really good, right? Wait, you're not answering. Okay. Okay. I'm just going to assume that's a yes. You know, they've already cast most of the people. Stephen Lang's going to be the bad guy. Rachel Nichols
cool.
is in it. Rose McGowan's in it, because she will not be Red Sonja.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Ron Perlman is in there for a little bit as Conan's dad. And
he's giant.
Exactly. And, you know, they got this guy, Jason Momoa. I don't really know who he is. He's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Conan, whatever. I love the original movie. Another thing, it was Arnold's breakout role. Is it sacred? No. It was based off a series of books,
yeah.
And so honestly, for me, I don't care as much that they're remaking
this. Yeah, it's just one of those. Again, it's like you gotta remember that you're challenging an Arnold role, and that in itself isn't necessarily a good idea yet.
Yeah.
I
mean, he was a monster. That's why you believed everything he did in Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
He is a freaking monster freak of nature.
Yeah. You know, it was from turning that crank all the time.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. The greatest explanation of why someone's that large in the history of the planet. Total Recall. They had the jackhammer.
Yeah.
In this, he had been pushing a plow for 20 years,
right.
Never stopping.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You know, it's going to be really difficult, you know, because you can't, there's no one around like, you know, like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had Conan the Barbarian, the Destroyer, and Red Sonja, the spinoff. So I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah,
remake it if you want.
I think that's kind of how you feel about
that.
Yeah,
whatever.
Whatever.
Now, this next one is, I actually hope it's just a rumor and not correct, because it's just insulting. There's a plan in 2011 to remake the 1963 Alfred Hitchcock film, The Birds.
Don't remake Hitchcock.
No, just don't do it.
Just don't do it. Like,
Gus Van Sant tried. Psycho wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. That was a shot-for-shot remake, and that was just dumb in itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hitchcock is about everything Hitchcock.
Yeah.
If you're going to remake a Hitchcock movie, you're not going to be able to make it with the same anything.
Yeah.
You know? I don't care if you're going to try a shot-for-shot, you're still not going to have any Hitchcockness. You know?
I totally agree. And, you know, apparently they're going to try to cast George Clooney and Naomi Watts. And granted, they both kind of look like people who would be in Hitchcock movies. They both have that classic movie star look. But there's just no reason. It's just asking for trouble. I mean, there's a reason why people haven't remade these films by Hitchcock. Well, because he's a genius.
He was a genius at making you fear without making you feel like you were watching a horror film. You just feared for people's lives. And the problem with movies nowadays is that everything is about how graphic it can be. I mean, one of the great things about Psycho is that you never see a knife actually go in.
Right.
You don't see the stabbing. You know, you see the shadows. You see the splatter. You see the blood running down the drain. But
totally
you don't
agree.
See stabbing. And in modern movies, it's all about the stabbing the gore.
Yeah.
and how far can you take how horrific it looks.
I totally agree.
And that takes everything away. It's no longer suspense. It's just in your face, gross.
Yeah, now bird's in your face.
Yeah.
The bird spit out your teeth.
Yeah, yeah, and that's like, yeah, I mean, I can see a bird spitting out an eyeball like onto George Clooney.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah. I mean, I just don't see why, like I said, any remake for a Hitchcock movie makes any sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And also another really funny thing about Alfred Hitchcock is he was actually deathly afraid of birds.
Yeah.
So not only do you have one of the best directors of all time, but he's doing a movie about something that scares him.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to get that same element out of anybody?
Yeah, it's true.
I can't. And I'm sorry. There's no directors right now that equal Alfred Hitchcock.
No, absolutely
there
not.
There are none.
No.
I mean, you know,
there's no one that have that kind of creative inspiration and just, oh my God, the way that he could shoot around things to make you know exactly what was supposed to be happening at the time.
And the thing about Hitchcock is he pwned the audience.
Yeah.
Even before that word, he had complete control and he freaked you out and you couldn't get out.
And he didn't need a tingler or smell-o-vision.
Exactly. And you know, no director captivates like that.
Mm-hmm.
It, not anymore. It doesn't work. So just don't do it. It's a bad idea. Logan's Run, I'm not happy about this, mostly because I love the original, and the original is set in 2274. It's in a dystopia where people, you know, by the time they hit the age of 30, they are killed, basically. And so the guy, they cut his time short. He only has 2 years. He still has 2 years left. So he runs away and, you know, gets chased down.
But and they live in a bubble.
And
right?
They live in a bubble.
Like an actual
exactly.
bubble.
In an actual bubble because, you know, Earth has messed up itself.
Right.
Or people have messed up the Earth. Well, in this one, it's your 21st birthday when they kill you? Really? Are we that freaking youth obsessed that makes any sense whatsoever?
Yeah, all I have to say is that is a bad, bad idea for so many reasons. Because, I mean, okay, I'm going to go into one in particular.
Yeah.
If at 21 people are dying, who's having babies?
Yeah.
And who's starting to raise those babies at all?
Yeah.
So you're going to have a bunch of 14-year-olds pregnant running around with babies?
I guess. Because
that's the only people that could actually raise a baby till the time they're 21 so that the baby can at least walk around on its own and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, is that what's going to become okay in this movie? That, like, you know, just a bunch of children having kids, and then beyond that, we are, it's 2010.
Yeah,
you know, and there's all sorts of internet stuff, and people are smarter than they were once. You know, like just technology has evolved, and the way we think has evolved, and it's just not a good idea it's not a good idea in general to be killing people off at a certain age, especially when, you know, certain people know certain things and shouldn't be killed.
Well, it's funny because, you know, you can make a lot of cases for things, and, you know, maybe the fact is that everyone's like a test tube baby, you know, maybe people don't actually have babies, and maybe they're working on the fact that, you know, your brain isn't fully formed till 25, so maybe the point is, like, the evil, you know, the evil people controlling things, you know, are banking on that. But either way, it still just doesn't make any sense. It really seems like it's like, well, we want to hire somebody who's 21 because to be young is the coolest thing ever. And so we're just going to make it that people die when they're 21. Let's push it all the way to 21. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's
clearly a reflection of the times right now, and it's irritating that they're superimposing that.
Yeah, and you know, the simple fact is that certain movies, they just can't translate because the stories don't mesh with modern science.
Yeah.
They don't mesh with the way that science and technology have evolved. And this is one of those things.
I totally agree. And I love the original. Other than that, they're remaking Red Sonja. Rose McGowan is not going to be it anymore.
Nope.
Apparently Megan Fox has been offered the role.
Again, this is the same as Conan. Whatever.
Yeah, who cares? They're talking about rebooting Hellraiser. Clive Barker did the original one. They had a director and writer on, but then he left. So now they're looking for new scripts. I think the biggest problem is is those original movies are really gross because they all had practical effects and it looked like people were actually bleeding and skinned alive. Everything's CGI now. CGI, there's nothing scary in CGI.
Yeah.
CGI is not scary. It's fake.
At some point,
they
might be able to make it scary, but not yet.
No.
So
it just seems gross. Scanners, another Cronenberg movie. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I love the original. David Goyer is writing the screenplay. And, you know, they're also remaking one of my favorite movies as a kid, Monster Squad.
You know, we actually just watched it the other day, and it's one of those, like, fine, whatever, you want to remake it, then go ahead. It's just there have been so many myths about vampires, werewolves, you know, mummies, all, you know, kind of undead things, like, so you kind of, are you going to work around those mythologies? Are you going to go with the classic mythologies? Do the classic mythologies even really hold up right now?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's all kind of weird. Again.
The original was great because it's all about the universal monsters and all the old school monsters. And, you know, this one is also going to be by Platinum Dunes, which Jerry Bruckheimer's company, and Rob Cohen's going to direct it. We watched the original last time. It's very much set in the 80s, and I don't know how they can kind of translate it in a way that'll be fun other than making it really silly. This one is the most disturbing of all of them. There's a plan to remake, or actually it's already been done, 1979's I Spit on Your Grave.
If you've ever seen the original, you realize don't remake this movie.
I can't even imagine what they're thinking. You know, this goes along with our 70s thing, our rape revenge movies.
Well, didn't, like, I gotta say that Last House on the Left is very similar.
Yes.
And did you see how that didn't sell?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, why?
Yeah.
Why?
There's no reason. It's
not the 70s.
Yeah. Well, and the worst part is,
I'm not pushing any envelopes.
You know, it's going to have limited release in the fall, and they say it takes the original to a terrifying new level. That's not possible. The original, you want to hear, this is the movie in a nutshell. The first 30 minutes, a girl gets to the country, and a bunch of rednecks are like, you know, want her. The entire 30-minute second act is her getting raped.
Yeah.
The entire 30-minute act.
Yeah, by each of them.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Yeah.
And over, like, it's horrific.
Yeah.
It's awful. And, like, oh, my God. There is nothing that they could do to make it work.
No. It's 15 minutes of her getting raped. She runs away for 5 minutes. They catch her. And then for the next 10 minutes, rape her again.
Yeah.
And then the last 30 minutes is her getting her revenge. You can't do any more with this movie.
And her revenge is so over the top that it's like, you know, it gets to the point of somewhat entertaining. But, like, but it is just a horrific thing. And you're with her the whole time because, oh, my God. But there is nothing worse they could do. All they can do is make it more graphic. And no, that's just obscene. There's no reason to do that. You're not pushing an envelope. You're just being a jerk.
It's wrong. There's a few movies out there that are just wrong, and it doesn't make sense to make a sequel or a remake of it. Other than that, they're going to do a reboot of Fantastic Four. They're doing another Dune, which I'm okay with because neither one has really been all that great, and I love the book.
Particularly accurate book, right?
It's been either or.
Yeah.
Either more accurate or less, but either one didn't work. There might be a Blob that Rob Zombie's working on.
That's already been remade
once. Yes, exactly. Now, they're doing a Highlander remake, which I'm not very happy about.
You know, I don't even know because there was the TV, like the movies, and then the TV show, and then the movie that had the guy from the TV show and the guy from the movie.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there can be only one. So I guess if there's a new one, then...
Hey, it's all about Christopher Lambert
you know,
to me.
You know what I say? I say go with the Tron Legacy style and make it a remake / sequel.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that.
Make it follow the same story. You can even have, you know, one, like, either the TV guy or the movie guy be in this one.
Yes.
Did one of them die at the end of the last
movie? I don't remember. There's so many of them. And they all die and come back, and who knows? You know, they're Highlanders. I would say, this isn't something I really want to see.
Is there any others?
Yes. They're doing Westworld, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, that could use some remake.
Yeah.
And
that technology's already starting, so I don't mind that. Other than that, Creature from the Black Lagoon, I mean, it's so old, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, again,
I don't
that's
see
another
that
one where
better.
Potentially they could use effects to improve on some things, but, you know.
And other than that, this is by far the worst one for me, is Battle Royale. Don't remake Battle Royale,
that's a bad idea. Yeah, I gotta say, with all of these ideas of remaking Asian, kind of hardcore Asian films, they just can't do them right because they can't do them with the same kind of attitude. They can't do them with the same kind of violence. I don't mean the same amount of violence. I mean the same kind.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just, it's not the kind of story that American audiences are going to be able to go with.
Exactly. You know, the whole thing about this is sort of like I spit on your grave. It's very specific to the culture and to the future world that they've created. And it's just going to come off wrong if a bunch of American kids are doing this. Yeah. Because the whole movie is about how wrong it is. It's about teenagers pitting teenagers in like a Running Man type thing.
Yeah.
Pitted against each other, murdering each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to a point where you kind of have to enjoy teenagers killing each other because that's the entire movie.
Yeah.
Do American audiences really want to watch that?
Probably.
I don't think they do. I think they do, but they don't want to.
Yeah.
Unless the cast is the cast of Twilight and the cast of High School Musical murdering each other, I don't think people are going to want to see this.
Okay,
I would want to see that.
Well, we actually have to going to our next break, but we will be back with you in just a moment.
Don't kill me, I sparkle.